Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and this pay raise bill that some members of Congress are pushing for would just be a whopper if they were
able to. This is like the old days, the good old days, yeah, after 3 years of freeze and then a 1% and then another 1%. Yeah, 3.3 is magic.
Yeah, the story's on federalnewsradio.com that some Democratic members of the House of Representatives, Jerry Conley and Jim Moran, longtime friends of federal employees, are pushing for a 3.3% raise in fiscal 2015.
Well, you know, this is a reminder of the coalition that developed first under Bill Clinton and continued under George Bush, and that is when the president would come in the case of Clinton, he came in his first year and proposed no raise at all. Mm-hmm. And this Democratic coalition, with the help of people like Frank Wolf and Republicans in the House, did an end run, got a bigger pay raise. And that happened for 7 years of the Clinton administration. And then when President Bush took office, a Republican, the same coalition, but with Republicans leading the charge, went around the president and got federal workers bigger raises every year. And it looks like this, we may be coming back to that extraordinary circumstances. Again, a three-year freeze. And then as the president of AAG says, a pitiful pay raise, pitiful 1% raise. But I think 3.3 is very doable because this is an election year.
When J. David Cox said the 1% pay raise was pitiful, my question was, I didn't get to ask him, unfortunately, but my question was, well, what would be okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a sense of that because AFGE says this is the first fair and meaningful raise for federal employees in years. So this, to them, is... Yeah, three times better than pitiful, I suppose.
Yeah, the economy is doing better. The stock market's doing better. The thrift savings plan is doing better. The people have sacrificed. They've gone through sequestration and the furloughs, which caused a run on people getting hardship loans and the like from their TSP funds and from the FEA, the Federal Employee Education Assistance Fund. So, yeah, 3.3 is certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
And this is something that the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, Colleen Kelly, has already advocated before Congress. Her exact number, 3.3%, was the number she gave to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee that oversees the federal workforce. Senator Tester is the chair of that committee. It's not a coincidence that this is the number. President Cox, AFGE, likes this. President Kelly's already talked about it. So that's why, as I read about this, I get a sense this is not just something that Congressman Conley, Congressman Moran pulled out of a hat, nor is it something that they're proposing and it's going to disappear, never to be heard from.
Yeah, again. With everything in Washington, you have to have a rationalization for it. And odd numbers are better than even numbers. You know, 96.8 is better than 98. And in this case, 3.3, I'm sure they worked out to the penny why that amount and no less is necessary.
Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and you have the vibrancy and excitement about you that says today was your turn day.
Today was your turn day at Arthur Stein. He's a well-known financial planner. Bethesda deals with federal things, and he sort of sliced and diced the federal thrift savings plan, talked about the pros and cons of a Roth IRA, of taking your Social Security on time or late, and a very interesting show. And then the Federal Times came on too, and we did our pirate radio. We had a good time, discussed a variety of things.
That explains the eye patch. Thrift savings plan, all of a sudden, it seems like references to it are coming out of the woodwork. You're writing in your column today that Susie Orman talked about it on public television not too long ago.
She taped a show here in D.C. It was interesting. I saw it. It was a typical Washington crowd, the kind of people who are in Washington who are PBS fans. Very well spoken, very well dressed crowd. They had good, intelligent questions, and one of them, or several of them, were about the TSP, and she didn't bat an eye and say, what's that? She knew what it was, knew the contribution rate, and recommended that everybody, no matter what else you do in life, take the matching funds.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the 5% free TSP. Free money, tax-deferred free money. Doesn't get any better than that.
I would like some of that.
I'll take it.
I don't have the option to do that, nope. Unfortunately, but I wish that were in the realm of possibilities.
Well, you know, you and I have talked to a number of people, very prominent people in the economic community and in the financial community, and everyone says, I wish I could get into the Federal Thrift Savings Plan.
There's only one way to do it.
That's right.
Get yourself a gig.
That's right.
And you can, and then you can participate. You told a joke in your column yesterday. And you and I tell each other jokes all the time. And
this will be our last show, by the way.
I love the joke you told in the column. You got to tell it.
Yeah, this is a typical all men are beasts things. Woman and her husband are having the talk. And she says, if I die first, she said, you wouldn't remarry, would you? And he says, well, you know, I kind of like having somebody around and, you know, very unromantic, dumb, worst thing to say.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you wouldn't live here in this house, would you? He said, well, yeah, I think so. I like the neighborhood and like the neighbors and it's almost paid for and everything. And she said, well, you and your new wife wouldn't sleep in this bed, would you? He said, well, you know, it's only 9 months old and it's paid for and it's one of those adjustable things. So yeah, we probably would. And she said, well, and she's an avid golfer. She said, you wouldn't let her use my golf clubs, would you? And he said, oh, certainly not. She's left-handed. From the all men are beasts department.
Oh, I love that joke. But, you use that as a lead in to your column, about some of the benefit questions that people have about what applies to their spouses before and after they die. And there's probably more questions about that than just about anything else.
Yeah, and having an all federal family is not unusual in this town. You know, you can have husband, wife, and even kids who are all federal government employees. And it's really important. And you can have a mixed marriage. You can have a CERS marrying a FERS. Uh-huh. You know, the old system marrying the new. Benefits are different. The amount that they can leave to a survivor is different. There are pros and cons, and it's something that everybody should really think through. Oftentimes somebody will say, well, I'm much older, so I'll leave her a benefit, but she doesn't have to leave me one. But again, my favorite example, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can step in front of a bus.
Right.
You can have a catastrophic illness or something. So you really need to think things through and not make it entirely on how much I can save in my monthly annuity if I don't do this,
right,
or how much I'll lose if I do this. But, you know, really consider all of the worst options.